Bibles to the book of Colossians. All right. Book of Colossians. Read in chapter 3. Verses 1 through 7. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Amen.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked in some time when you lived in them. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would bless your word today. Lord, we're gathered together here in your name. And Lord, our desire is we want to honor you. We want to magnify you. We want to glorify you. Lord, also in our hearts and in our spirits, there are other things in there that really shouldn't be in there. I pray that you would help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to deny the flesh. Help us, Lord, to put away those things that aren't pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I just noticed there in verse 5, it talks about covetousness, which is idolatry, so we're not going to deal with that because Bill going to cover that next week. But this passage right here is an incredible passage. It's one that has struck me early on when I was a young Christian and just got some incredible things to think about here. The verse that I really want to focus on as we consider this passage today is found in verse 2. Where it says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And I'm not going to preach this primarily in terms of covetousness, so hopefully we'll protect some of Bill's territory, but it just struck me the way that it says it there, that and believe me, it's not a mistake the way things are written in the Bible.
Amen.
It's not a mistake as to how things are constructed. And when it says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, this actually is not an easy verse to preach. It's not an easy verse to live because it's dealing with something that in many cases we think is involuntary. There is an attitude that that what you feel is involuntary, you know. Have you ever heard the phrase, well, I just fell in love? You know, of course you have. And maybe you even, you know, thought yourself, well, I just fell in love, you know, as if somehow love is some sort of a mystical thing that just kind of goes around, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, it hits you, you know, and you don't even realize that it hits you. You know, once we study the Bible, we realize, hey, man, that ain't it at all. Because the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and breath, doesn't it? So we find out that love has something to do with what you do. It has some effort. It's not something mystical. Set your affections on things above. Not primarily talking about love, but talking about your affections, what you're affected with, what you actually like. You know, it's important to like the things of God. It's important to love the things of God. Have you ever had somebody do a job for you when their heart hasn't been in it?
Amen.
Of course, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Amen.
When your heart's not in something, when your desires and your emotions aren't in something, man, it really does affect the job that you do. Go tell one of your kids, you know, to do a chore, to do something, and when their heart isn't in it, and you'll see a big difference, you know. Get them involved in something that they really love and that they really have an interest in, and you'll see a big difference in the way that they do the job. And I think that's the way it is with us when we're serving the Lord. You know what I believe? I believe our heart's got to be in it.
Amen.
I don't believe it's enough just for us to go through the motions. It's not enough for me just to do the things. Now, by the way, that is a good thing to do.
Amen.
You know, don't stop doing good things just because your heart's not in it.
Amen.
You know, just don't give up on doing those things that are good and right just because you don't necessarily have the associated emotion that goes with it. Because, by the way, we are mature Christians, or we ought to be, and we ought to know what we're supposed to do, regardless of what we feel. So when it says, set your affections on things above, it's not primarily talking about just this feeling or this emotion. Some people, they associate affection with emotion, but it's actually a lot deeper than that. I want to mention a few things. Number one, that the way that it's structured here, it is a command. It's not an option. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. God is telling me that I have to make a choice in some things that I like and some things that I'm going to be passionate about, things that I'm going to be affectionate for, that I'm actually going to have to make a choice. He says, set. You know, it's a command. It would be one thing for God to tell me to do something more tangible. Man, it's so easy. You know, that's why religion is so popular, and that's why it's so men are so drawn towards religion, is because it's easy to comply. Man, all you got to do is do what you're supposed to do. You know. You got to hold the right beads, and you got to say the right prayers, and you got to bow when you're supposed to bow, and you got to stand when you're supposed to stand. You know, if you give us some sort of an outward form of righteousness and a list, you know, dress like this, talk like this, act like that, then there's a lot of people that can apply to it. But it is actually a command. He says, set your affection on things above. That means it's a command. By the way, it's a conditional command. Look what it says right there in verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you then be risen with Christ. You see, there's actually some doctrine right there. If you then be risen with Christ. Look over there at the book of Ephesians real quick. It's in the book of Ephesians. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, you guys ought to be so familiar with the Bible, you ought to know where I'm going with this thing. Okay, look at Ephesians in chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." God's talking about you, by the way. You know, nobody's exempt from that. You can't say, "No, I grew up a little goody two-shoes and I was..." No, I'm telling you, from the worst to the best, each one of us, we were driven by the lust and the passions of our flesh. There in verse 4 it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." You see, Christianity is not a lifestyle decision. Christianity is something that God has done in us and for us.
Amen.
You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our
Amen.
Sins. That payment that He made on the cross of Calvary, that blood that He shed, actually did something in us, because at one time we were dead in trespasses and sins. When Christ came, we were alive according to His death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
There was a change that happens in us.
Amen.
It's not a lifestyle change. It's not like me joining a club. It's not like me going and just adopting a set of behaviors or some sort of a creed or something like that. No, this is a life-changing event when you get saved. And He says, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That means now I'm alive.
Yes. Amen.
And by the way, I'm alive forevermore.
Amen.
You see, it makes a difference. Before I was saved, I was dead in trespasses and sins, and I was fearful of death. Now, no more. Man, I know where I'm going when I die. I'm not just guessing where I'm going when I die. Look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you know, positionally, that's where you are right now. We're risen with Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
The reason why He says it this way, it's as good as done.
Amen.
Now, He says He put His Holy Spirit in us as the earnest. He's coming back for the purchased possession. We know that. And we understand that. You see, really, we are not just simply groveling down here on earth. This is our temporary position. By the way, that's why you can kind of give up some of the things in this life. You don't have to be driven by covetousness, because the abundance, how does it say it? Your life consists not in the abundance of things which He possesses. But He says that positionally we're sitting together in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
That's what we are. You see, I am a resurrected being. Lost people look at that and, you know, they think, man, I am never going to die. You know, they're thinking, man, you are so arrogant. You're so haughty. You know, they just don't understand.
Amen.
You know, they think we're bragging on themselves. But we are actually eternal creatures.
Amen.
I know that body is wearing out. I know that it humbles us every day. Our brains are even wearing out. You know, there's some days you're just in a brain fog. I'm like that a lot of days, you know, where I'm thinking, man, I know biologically this thing up here's got to be working better than that. But I'm telling you, I'm not tied to this body. I am right now, but my life is not this body. My life is not, man, I'm telling you, we are eternal beings. If you then be risen with Christ. You see, there's an if there. You see, God doesn't command all the world that's outside of Him to love Him. He wants His own children to love Him.
Amen.
He wants His own children to do something. He's got some commands here. And He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. It's one thing for God to tell me, yes, seek those things which are above. Seek after righteousness. Seek after peace. Seek after holiness. But then He tells me, He says, to set my affections on those things. That means it's not good enough for me just to do these things. He wants, it's like a kid, you know. Not only do you want your kid to do his chore, but you want him to like it, don't you?
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, this is so much fun to torture kids that way. I mean, you're not only going to eat it, but you're going to like it. You know? Your kids get all bent out of shape, but then when they get old and then they have kids, they do the same thing to their kids, you know. It all comes around.
Amen.
Yeah, but the truth is that God wants our hearts in it.
Amen.
He wants our hearts in it.
Amen.
He wants us to love the things that He loves. He wants us to be affectionate towards the thing. He wants us to set our affections on things above.
Right. Amen.
Let me tell you, that's hard. It can be rough because we got some competition, don't we?
Amen.
Man, do we have competition. Let me tell you why we haven't built a big stage here and set up a big band and tried to make a big production. Because I'm telling you, we can't compete. We got a lot of talent in here. But we can't compete with the Rolling Stones, men. I'm serious, man. They know how to put on a show. We can't compete with them. We can't put on a better show than they can. You guys are looking at me like, no, I'm serious. We can't. We can't compete on that level. So we don't even try.
Amen. Amen.
It's not our job.
Amen.
You see, our affections are in a different area.
Amen.
Or we're not trying to be like the world.
Amen.
Who cares what the world is like?
Amen.
They asked us, they said, you know, we got to, you know, Halloween's coming up, and so we've got to provide an alternative for our kids. You know, we don't have to necessarily provide an alternative for everything that the world has. Alternatives are not necessarily. I remember when my brother quit drinking for a while, he was trying to get me started on this non-alcoholic beer. Really? Makes sense, right? You stop drinking, but you still love your beer, so you want to drink. So this is an alternative, you know? This is like, and I'm drinking, and it's just like they're teasing you, you know? I'm like, this stuff is gross. Where's the kick? Where's the punch? Oh, man, we still get to drink. I said, what's the point? There's no alcohol in the beer. What's the point, you know? Let's just drink water. We don't have to have an alternative for everything that the world provides.
Amen.
And by the way, the things of God, they're better.
Amen.
You know what I have learned over the years? Is that I have learned that God's righteousness is so incredible. It's beyond description.
Amen.
I used to look at righteousness as a drag. I remember before I got saved, me even contemplating that I would hang out with church people. I mean, it didn't even come into my mind. No, man, I'm hang out with church people? No way. That's not where the action is. I mean, there's one person talking, everybody else is just sitting and listening, you know? And my background, anyway, from maybe you came from a Pentecostal church where church was a party, you know? No, where I came from, it was dark lights, shadows, you know, and statues with eyes that, or you think their eyes moved anyway. You had to be very quiet, you know. You know, oh, it is spooky, man.
Right.
Yeah, but see, I see it from a different side now.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I've been risen with Christ.
Yes, sir.
You see, He does something in that old heart.
Amen.
And now I look out at some things, and I was in line the other day. It was the last day to get Matthew's cap and gown and sign up for all his invitations and everything. And I'm always a procrastinator, just generally, you know. So I thought, oh, man, I wait till the last day. I'll just swing by the shop itself, you know. And so I did, and there was probably about 300 people that had the same idea I did. We were snaked all the way around the block, you know. And I'm just sitting there, you know. And this guy behind me starts smoking a cigarette. It made me mad, you know. I couldn't say anything. You know, we're outside, you know. What can you say, you know? But it just kind of irritated me. And I was irritated for a minute, and then I got excited. I was like, that irritates me. That's pretty cool. Seriously, because there was a day when I smoked like a chimney, you know. And not that there's anything about smoking in the Bible necessarily, but it is associated with a lot of stuff, you know. But man, God, He just did something different in me. I realize now that the thing that I loved now irritates me. The thing that I once put my life into, now I hate. And I finally see it from the other side. Listen, let me tell you something. If you're not saved, none of this makes any sense to you. And I understand that. It will never make any sense to you until you give your life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why pretenders, they have such a miserable time. They're in there holding their Bibles and they're saying amen and they're walking around pretending. But they don't get it, man. It's not about walking around with your Bible and putting your hands together and saying amen and not doing some wicked things and staying home on Saturday night. That's not what it's all about. It's all about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He wants you into the things that He's into. I mean, He just doesn't want you, not like a kid doing his chore, just kind of doing it half-heartedly. He doesn't really want to do it. Man, He wants you to want to come to church. He wants you to want to seek those things out in His Word. And find out what it means, you know. Oh man, I got to read my Bible. Where was I? Malachi. Okay. It is treacherously about.
Amen.
Now granted, when my kids were little, I would make them do that, and I didn't care whether they wanted to do it or didn't want to do it, you know. There are some things you just push down your kid's throat because you know that are good for them. You push those green beans down their throat because you know it's good for their body.
Amen.
And you push that word because you know it's good for their soul. But boy, isn't it a difference? I remember seeing the difference in some of my kids. I won't tell you, you know, which ones because I only got four, but there's a difference when they get saved. I never really pushed my kids to get saved. Like by 2 years old, I wanted them to call on the Lord or anything like that. I wanted them to make a decision. And when I did, boy, did I see a difference. All of a sudden, it wasn't just like that. It was like, hey, Dad, that verse. You know, all of a sudden, they started getting interested in it. You know, God wants us interested in the things that He does. And if you get saved, it makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
So it's a conditional command. It is a command. He commands you to set your affections on things above. He commands you, conditional as children of God, to set your affection on things above. So, if it applies to you, then it's a command for you. If it applies to you, then it is a command for you. So don't check out. Don't put the verse away. Don't say, you know, I'm just doing pretty good. You know, think about it. Where are you with your heart in relationship to the things of the Lord?
All right. Amen.
Some people come into church, it's like they're coming into foreign territory because they've been so inundated with the things of the world all week and they've never been into the things of God. And that's sad.
Mercy, Lord.
So, let's carry it a step farther. If this is a command, and it's a command for His children, then that generally means that there's an expectation. God is looking for some results. He's looking for some work, you know. And by the way, you can't just write off a command because it's difficult. There is a command in the Bible, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and breath. How many of us in here would raise our hands and say, I think I got that thing figured out. I think I can do that. No, not a single one of us. But does that give us the option just to throw it away and not even try? Absolutely not.
Amen. Amen.
But if it's a command and it applies to you and there's an expectation of some return, then I will tell you this, it is possible. Why would God command you to do something that you couldn't do? Why would God set this up and tell you to do something where there's absolutely no opportunity, there's no option, there's no way for you to get it done? There's a way to get this done. You can set your affection on things above.
Amen.
You can actually learn to like the things that God likes.
Amen.
I know Lyndall just said amen, but he doesn't believe it. I'll tell you why. Because one time we were talking about it, and he was making fun of my lunch, man. I know I picked on him last week, but I'll pick on him this week because he's here, you know. And I had the normal lunch, you know. I had carrot sticks and celery sticks for a snack, you know, and I had some other things in there. And he looked at that, and he actually, what did you call it, like bird food or something like that? And I was trying to tell him, he says, man, you're really weird. You actually like that stuff.
Amen.
Yeah, I do. You know, I actually like that stuff. I like all the other stuff, too, you know. Chips taste pretty good, and there's really no comparison between a chip and a carrot stick, I guarantee. But he started telling me, he said, no, man, he said, I just eat the steak. He said, I'll let the cow eat the salad and then I'll just eat the steak, you know, and he went in like this. And he's giving me a hard time. But, you know, the truth is that you can cultivate a different taste than what you have right now.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Sure, you can. Because if you gorge yourself on junk food, you know, that's what you're going to have a taste for. That's actually what your body is going to crave. I mean, it's just a biological fact. You eat all kinds of fried stuff with tons of salt on it. You know, your body's going to get used to that, and it's going to be crying out for it. And I don't know all the medical stuff behind it, but there's a transition that takes place, right? I mean, if you want to stop eating Cheetos and you want to start eating carrot sticks, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of a transition there. But after a while, I mean, I'm telling you, you can learn to like things that you didn't like before.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You can acquire a taste for other things. And that's what he's talking about here. He said, set your affection on things above. God wants you to acquire a taste for righteousness. To get a taste for righteousness. And believe me, there's a different taste. It is a totally different assault on your senses when you eat a crispy Ridges potato chip with onion dip on it than when you eat a carrot stick. All right? There's a different experience that goes on there. But we all know that that carrot stick is better for your body than that chip is. Well, you know, you can talk to yourself and you can say, you know what, although these things that I love, your diet consists of all kinds of things. And believe me, a lot of people are in trouble because of the diet that they have. And I'm not talking about physical diet. I'm not trying to, you know, clean up y'all's dinner table or anything like that. Because when it comes to it, you know, I'll eat whatever comes nearest my mouth. But in the spiritual things, yeah, there's probably a reason why you don't have a taste for the things of God. Because you're gorging yourself on junk food all the time. There's wives out there, you know, and they can't hardly understand how they could possibly obey the command to reverence their husband. And there's a good reason for it, because where's their nose stuck out? Now, I mean, nobody here, but you might read about somebody. Their nose is stuck in those Harlequin magazines. You know, come on, man. I saw one on the checkout counter one time, and it had this dude with this bronze body, you know, this long flowing hair and all that. I mean, it's obvious that guy never ate a potato chip in his life, you know. Of course, he also lived at the gym, you know. You may have something that looks like that, but it's because you live at the gym. I'm not willing to live at the gym. But then you're like, man, who can compete with that, you know? What if your wife stuck her nose in one of those things all day? You know, what's going to happen before too long? She's going to look at you. She's going to be real dissatisfied, isn't she? I don't know why I picked that example. It just came to my mind. But listen, sin has a taste. Unrighteousness has a taste.
Amen.
It's just that when you get involved with all that romance junk, what does it do? It leads your heart and your mind away. Oh, Solomon, I bet if he could just go back and redo what he did with all his wives, I bet he would do it. I bet if he could undo his life, because Solomon, a wise, wise man, ended up getting all these wives and concubines and everything, and he started getting caught up with their gods and with all their stuff. And the same thing with us.
Amen.
You got affections in your heart that shouldn't be there.
That's right. Amen.
You got some things that you like. You shouldn't be liking those things. You got to change your diet.
Amen.
Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, you see, this is a choice. This is a command, and God gives you the things. Don't we find in this book here everything that pertains to life? I mean, don't we find in here the things that we need? Yeah, absolutely we do. Maybe it's time to fast. Maybe it's time to cut off some things that are competing with your affections for the things of God. There in verse 5, I'm going to tell you a logical progression here is that, you know, this is a command. It's a command that applies to you. It's a command that if it applies to you and it's a command for you, then it's possible and God expects you to do something about it. But in order to successfully accomplish it, there are some other things that just, they have to go. Look at verse 5 again. What does that first word there say? It says mortify. That means cause death to. Look what it says to mortify. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Well, look at this. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, don't think that this is an exclusive list, by the way, of everything that could possibly be. He's just putting some things in there. But a lot of these have to do with an area of our affections that seems to be rampant in our society today. We've got more adultery now than we ever have before. We've got more dissatisfaction for the natural use of men and women than we ever had before. We have got this thirst and this desire for things that are more and more wicked. And believe me, if you give society the right to like same-sex marriage and things like that, don't think for a minute that they're going to be satisfied with that. They are going to take that, but then they're going to want to go a step further. They're going to want to go again. I'm telling you something. He says, mortify therefore your members. He says, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So there are some things in us that God wants us to mortify.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I mean, that's not. Kindergarten stuff here. I mean, there are some things that He wants absolutely separated, gone, and dead. He wants them out of there. I think, and probably it's just a product of our society, you know, just being bombarded, partly because, you know, now we have more media than we ever have before. It may have been a little bit easier back in the 1800s for a farmer who only went into town once a month, you know, and saw a 5-cent movie or something. He may not have the struggles that we have here today. But let me tell you, we are forever bombarded with messages from the time that we get up to the time that we go to sleep. The time that we get up, you know, you go to work and the car radio's on, you know, and depending on what station, the songs that you listen to and the shock jocks that entertain you, they're all giving you messages, you know. The things that you read on the billboards, they're giving you messages. And you can't even get away from that. When you go to answer your phone, if you've got a smartphone, you're getting messages on your smartphone. And then the things that we hear in the news, you know, about and how, you know, and how people that don't go along with all of this cattle trash, you know, that they're considered being intolerant, you know, and then you get on the internet.
Amen.
Man, it's no wonder that our marriages aren't staying together. It's no wonder we don't love a good, godly relationship. It's no wonder that society sneers at this notion that one man and one woman for life? Are you serious? You know, are you still back in the old ages somewhere? Well, when you read the Bible, you find out, man, there's a lot of good reasons why God said one man and one woman for life. But you know what our thirst is for now? Our thirst is for pornography. Our thirst is for all of these inordinate affections. Isn't that what it calls it right there? It says inordinate affection. I mean, we could go through and list them all until we're just sick to our stomach. And God says you got to mortify it.
Amen.
You got to kill it. You got to. I was reading an article about people that are born with six fingers, and how they take that sixth finger. I don't know, man, if I was born with six fingers, I think I'd kind of like to keep it, you know. That'd be kind of cool. But what they do is when that kid's a baby, they put a rubber band on that thing, and then they just wait till the blood stops flowing to it, you know, and the flesh begins to die. And they said after a while, that thing just falls off. You know, they killed it. It was a bodily member, and they just put a rubber band around it and killed it and got rid of it. There are some things in your life that's got to happen to. Amen. Man, you can't. What does God say? He says you can't serve two masters. You can't be loving both things at the same time. You can't be gorging yourself all week in the inordinate affections of the world and then expect to love the things of God.
Amen.
No wonder you feel so out of place in church. No wonder preaching makes you so uncomfortable. No wonder that the Bible doesn't really seem to draw you anymore. Because there's other stuff there. Let me tell you, there's a verse that I like in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 18. Just very simple, very basic. Chapter 6 and verse 18, this particular subject, he deals with this when it comes to youthful lust, with covetousness, but in this case it's for fornication. And he says there in verse 18, flee fornication. Okay, man, I got to come up with some sort of formula because, you know, I got this in my life and, you know, I got this over here and I've got... What's God's formula? Run!
Amen.
I mean, come on, get up and run, man. See it as a threat for what it really is. Remember, I had this young man and I picked him up over on the west side and he was going to be my helper for the day. And I carted him all the way up to Bernie and he'd never been on the north side before, you know. And he's looking out the window and he's seeing things. And he just made a comment. He says, wow, there's a lot of people up here that are running. Because you get up on the north side, you know, and people are, you know, they're all jogging, right? Useless thing. I no offense that if you jog, but to me, they said, man, you got to run to get in shape. I said, why, man? You run and then you end up in the same place where you started. And he just made a comment. He says, in my neighborhood, we run too. But he wasn't talking about jogging. He was talking about, man, you got to run. Hey, come here, you little blankety blank. I'm going to blankety. Isn't that a difference?
Yeah.
You go up on the north side, man, people are playing around. They're just kind of, you know, or they got those little weights in their hands, you know, and they're. But on his neighborhood, man, it is all out. It is serious, man. They are just hauling butt down the road, man. They're just going. Because there's a reason to run, man. There is a threat behind you. Man, when I started taking self-defense classes, and you know, I thought I was going to get all this cool stuff to do. You know, the first thing the instructor told us, if you can run, run. Don't be wearing street shoes in gravel, man, because you can't run. That's good advice, by the way. I mean, it is real good advice. So why aren't you running away?
Amen.
I mean, you got some of this stuff, man, and you don't put any roadblocks up. You don't put any. You just drink it all in.
Amen.
And get out, man. I tell you, Joseph, he ought to be a hero to all of us. Because when Potiphar's wife came after him, he wasn't sitting there saying, let me think, you know. Or sitting there drinking in the temptation. Man, that would be pretty good to have Potiphar's wife. No, man, she grabbed his cloak and he ran out and he got out of there. That's exactly what you need to do. He says, set your affections on things above. The logical conclusion of that is if you are going to obey this command from God, some other stuff has got to go.
Amen.
If you got something that's taken your heart away, get rid of it. man, just get rid of it. Say, man, but it's expensive. Or, man, I paid a lot of money for it. Man, who cares? What's more important, safeguarding stuff or safeguarding or getting back with God? Man, I'm telling you something. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. Oh, my friend, you gotta do it.
Amen.
This isn't a suggestion. This isn't a self-help manual to give you an idea how you can be happier tomorrow. Man, this is a command. This is an expectation that God has of you. He wants you to fulfill it. And I think in your mind, you already know what you need to do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You just need to do it.
Amen, amen, amen.
Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's pray.